Hi there, I'm Wendy Smith, former volunteer assistant dog trainer with the Oak Ridge Kennel Club in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And I'm here today with my good friend Addie the German Shepherd. Say hi to the folks out there, Addie. Addie and I are here to share with you a statistic that you might find, to be frank, shocking. Did you know that according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there are approximately 4.5 million dog bites reported each year? Yeah, you heard that right. 4.5 million. Million. And that's just the USA alone. Pretty mind-blowing, huh? Out of those 4.5 million dog bites, 1 in 5 will require medical attention. That comes to about 800,000 cases. Breaking down the statistics a little more, the dog bites seem to be pretty fairly evenly distributed across the age groups, with half of those reported involving children and the other half involving adults. Those are some staggering numbers. And one of the saddest things about it is that most of those bites could probably have been prevented with a little education. So that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. What can you do to prevent either you or one of your family members from becoming part of this statistic? First, we're going to look at some of the reasons that dogs bite. And next, we'll explore how you can protect yourself or your children from being bitten. And finally, we'll offer some advice to dog owners on ways that you can prevent your dog from being in a bite situation. Information presented here has been collected from a number of sources that include the CDC, the American Veterinary Medical Association, the American Kennel Club, and some others as well. Plus, I'll throw in a few of my own personal reflections. Are you ready to get started? Great! First off, when looking at ways to avoid dog bites, it's important to first look at some of the reasons that a dog might bite or snap out at someone. This can help you to avoid situations where there might be a higher risk of being involved in a bite situation. Now, I'm not going to be speaking about situations where a dog has been trained to bite, like with a police dog or a guard dog or something like that. Instead, we'll be focusing on reasons why an everyday random dog might bite someone. So, what are some of the reasons that dogs bite? The first thing that comes to mind for many people is aggression. It's just a mean dog. But there are a number of possible reasons why a dog might bite, and aggression is a reason, but it's only one of many. And it's important to keep in mind that any dog can bite, no matter what its past behavior or your familiarity with it. There is no such thing as a 100% bite-proof dog. Any dog, under the wrong circumstances, can bite. Any. One major reason that a dog might bite is in defense. And several categories can be considered defensive situations. First, there's the defense out of pain. Illness or injury can often be a tremendous factor in why a dog might snap at someone. The American Veterinary Medical Association, or the AVMA, point out that animals in pain commonly lash out in defense. So if a dog that is a normally friendly animal begins behaving aggressively or out of character, keep clear of it. Animal behavioralists advise that pet owners should contact a veterinarian immediately if their normally friendly dog begins behaving out of character or aggressively in order to rule out any medical issues that could be behind the problem. Next, there is defense out of fear. Is the dog visibly frightened and trying to get away from you? If so, slowly back away. Continuing to pressure the animal could lead to a defensive bite. Defense out of fear can also mean an animal is simply startled too. Imagine you're lying on your couch, either dozing or completely focused on a TV show. Maybe you even think that you're the only person in the house. And then suddenly someone's hand lands on your shoulder. What would you do? Scream, jump up? Maybe even instinctually hit at the person behind you? Dogs have those same instincts when startled. It's not unheard of for a dog in a deep sleep to snap if suddenly awakened. There is a reason that the old saying of "let sleeping dogs lie" exists. Next, I would be remiss if I didn't include prey drive on this list of reasons that a dog might bite someone. Dogs and humans have been partners for millennia. We've bred them to perform innumerable tasks for us. No other domestic animal shares the same intricate relationship with our species. But at heart, dogs are still predators, And those instincts are still in there, although often at varying degrees. And one of the strongest is the prey drive. Dogs' innate prey drive has led to the creation of a number of breeds over the centuries, from hounds and hunting dogs to the terriers that were used to keep homes free from vermin. Believe it or not, even the herding instinct seen in shepherds and collies is a modified version of the prey drive. So the prey drive is not an innately bad instinct, and again, individual dogs have a varying level of it, but if triggered the wrong way, it can lead to a dog bite. So, what are some of the things that might trigger a dog's prey drive? Two of the biggest triggers are fast-moving objects and also high-pitched sounds that could be mistaken for a sound that a wounded prey animal might make. The next major reason behind dog bites is resource guarding. Is the dog protecting something that it doesn't want taken away? For example, is it eating? Is it chewing on a favorite toy? But resource guarding can also be extended to people, too. Is the dog trying to protect a favorite person from what it perceives as a threat? Think of all those amazing stories of dogs bravely rescuing their owners from some form of attack. Those stories are fantastic and just one of the many reasons that we love our dogs. But unfortunately, dogs don't always read the situation correctly, which brings us to my first personal reflection. Years ago, when a cousin of mine was a small child, the dog I had at the time was very bonded with him, and she was very protective of him. Now, he was a tough and tumble little guy, and he loved to constantly play by chasing and wrestling with his friends. And whenever his friends dropped by, things could get pretty rowdy. Unfortunately, my dog did not understand that the other boys were only playing. So she would physically squeeze between them to physically put herself between my cousin and what she perceived to be a potential threat, i.e. his roughhousing friends. To keep things from escalating, we made sure to keep her in different areas of the house whenever his friends visited. And that story ties in quite nicely with our next common reason behind dog bites, misjudgment. And again, several situations can be considered misjudgment. First, let's take a look at rough play. Dogs love to play, and when they play with each other, they can play rough. Chasing, wrestling, nipping at each other, you name it. My two current dogs love to grab each other behind their hind leg, with their teeth, of course, and then hang on to the other one until it decides it wants to wrestle with them. That's right, Addy, I'm looking at you. You know you do it, I've seen it. But it's all in good fun, and neither of them are actually trying to hurt each other. It's just a canine version of horseplay. The problem is, humans are not built like dogs. We don't have a layer of fur to act as an armor between their teeth and our skin. Our skin is already much thinner than theirs. So what might only be a playful nip to another dog has the potential to inadvertently cause real damage to a human, particularly someone with more delicate skin, like a child or one of the elderly. Canine-on-canine discipline can also lead to misjudgment if it becomes canine-on-human discipline. What do I mean by this? Let me explain. Dogs generally prefer to avoid conflict if left to their own devices, and they have a number of steps they go through when doing so. Take, for example, let's look at an older dog dealing with a rambunctious puppy. The pup begins doing something that is annoying to the older dog. The dog first ignores the puppy, at which point the pup might become bored and look elsewhere for entertainment. But if the puppy keeps doing what it was doing, the dog will usually attempt to leave the situation. It gets up and walks away, maybe even with a low growl thrown in, kind of a back-off warning to the pup. If the puppy still follows and continues to bother it, the dog snaps at it, usually with some scary sound effects thrown in. It could even nip the pup. And this continues with the dog's response getting harsher until either the puppy finally gets the message and backs off or runs the risk of getting hurt. Canine-on-canine discipline might not hit all of those steps, but in general, it's a progression of force that begins with the dog trying to avoid an altercation at first. So let's say a small child is doing something to annoy a dog, and the dog walks away. The child follows and continues the behavior. What could happen next? Yeah, the dog might react as if disciplining another dog. And again, human skin is not like dog skin. So what might have only been a nip to another dog could actually break the skin of a child. And finally, misdirection is another major factor in dog bites. In fact, it's one of the most common reasons behind them, according to the American Veterinary Medical Association. What is misdirection? It's a situation in which the dog thinks it's biting something else. The most common example, the one that leads to the most bites, is a person attempting to break up two fighting dogs. Okay, so those are some of the reasons that a dog might bite someone. Now let's look at some of the things that you can do to reduce the odds of you or someone in your family becoming a part of the CDC's scary dog bite statistic. First, we'll look at things that you can do to protect yourself, and then go over a few things to help protect children in your life. Okay, first, let's say you're out for a stroll and you come across two people walking their dogs. One is a gorgeous golden retriever, and the other is a powerful Rottweiler. Based on breed, which of those two dogs do you think poses the greatest risk of biting you? I think it's safe to say most people would choose the Rottweiler as the one you have to look out for. Well, it just so happens that both of those dogs are two real dogs that I've met in my own life. The Golden Retriever is a dog rescued from an abusive home. Her situation was so bad that the only person she trusts is her new owner, who is experienced with rehabbing abused dogs. She's come a long way, but strangers, especially children, are not allowed to come near her because of her past history of biting. The Rottweiler in this scenario is actually a dog that I owned many years ago, and she just happened to be a therapy dog who spent several years visiting nursing homes and hospitals. She was also terrified of cats, but that's another story. So basically, the breed of a dog is not a reliable way to identify the bite risk that that dog poses. Instead, according to the AVMA, a much better indicator is the behavior of the individual dog. So one of the best ways to avoid being bitten is to learn a little bit about dog behavior, particularly body language. And before I go into canine body language a bit more, I first want to point out that a wagging tail is also not always a sign of friendliness. It can also indicate excitement or a strong emotional state. So don't rely solely on a wagging tail when assessing bite risk either. Use other cues in combination with the tail to determine the risk factors. So, what are some of the cues to keep an eye out for? One of the easiest to keep in mind is the law of extremes. Is the dog trying to make itself seem larger than it actually is, or is it trying to make itself as small as possible? Both are signs of wariness or uncertainty in dogs. Aggressive dogs may often try to make themselves look bigger, whereas a more fearful, submissive dog will try to make itself look smaller. Another extreme to look out for is eye contact. A dog making hard, intense, prolonged eye contact with you is indicating aggression and a challenge. If the dog is doing everything it can to avoid making eye contact with you, that is a fear indicator. We also have body stance. Is the dog standing rigid with ears forward and legs tense? That is often a sign of aggression. At the other end of the spectrum, a dog crouched low with ears flat and tail curved under its belly is showing fear signs. Also, excessive yawning or panting can be a sign of anxiety and that the dog is not entirely comfortable with the situation at hand. So, what should you do if confronted with a strange dog, particularly one showing extreme body language? First off, don't approach it. Avoid making prolonged eye contact, too. An aggressive or dominant dog could see that as a challenge, and a fearful dog could see you as even more of a threat. Stand still until the dog passes, or if you must move slowly away. Don't scream or run, lest the dog's prey drive is triggered. But what about when you see a dog not showing extreme body language? Thing you should always do is ask the owner's permission before interacting with the dog in any way. That is the person that knows the dog best and if it is okay with strangers. Plus, you don't want to risk disturbing a potential service dog if it's working. After getting the owner's permission, first offer the dog the back of your hand to sniff. And don't lean over the dog when petting it. If the dog tries to move away from you at any time, let it go and back away. Don't attempt to force a dog to interact with you. Another way to avoid a potential bite situation is to stay clear of a dog when it is eating. Most of the sources I explored also suggest that you do not hug a dog, as the dog could mistake that for a threat or intimidating behavior. But I'm not going to go quite that far. Some dogs love to cuddle with their owners. The key word here is owners. If your own dog enjoys interacting that way with you, I don't see a problem with it. But never try to hug a dog you just met or one that doesn't seem to enjoy the experience. Also, if dealing with a dog fight, don't try to break it up with your bare hands. Try to find other methods, like a water hose or something else you can try from a safe distance. Now let's take a look at children. What can parents do to protect their children from being bitten by a dog? First, let's look at the family pet. According to VCA Animal Hospitals, the majority of dog bites involving children also involve the family dog. So, what are some things that you can do to avoid any altercations between your child and the family dog? First off, you should never leave small children unattended with a dog, not even your own most trusted dog. Accidents can happen. Perhaps the child pulls on the dog's tail or accidentally steps on a paw because you are not there to stop them. Or maybe the dog gets carried away and starts playing too roughly, and you aren't there to calm them. Remember, what could be a playful nip for a dog could actually draw blood on a child. And beyond biting, it's also possible that the dog could accidentally injure a small child simply by knocking them over. So no matter how trustworthy you may feel like the family dog is, it's not worth the risk. Something else to keep in mind when dealing with the family dog is to provide it with a safe space and enforce that rule. If the dog goes to its safe place, children are not allowed to follow it. The dog needs to know it has a place to escape to if feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Also, don't let your children near the dog when it is eating. Teach your children that the dog is not a plaything. They shouldn't pull ears or do other things that might cause pain. Don't let them treat the dog like a dress-up doll. And whatever you do, don't let them try to ride it. When meeting unfamiliar dogs, also be sure to teach your children to ask permission to pet someone else's dog first. If the owner says no, accept that. Just because the child asked does not mean that the owner is obligated to say yes. Discourage them from running up to or away from strange dogs, even in play. Small, fast-moving things, especially ones that make high-pitched noises, can trigger that prey drive after all. Parents should also take advantage of some of the free resources out there. A simple internet search can show you a ton of things geared towards teaching dog bite safety to children. As we've already pointed out, half of those bitten by dogs are children. It's an epidemic that many highly reputable organizations are actively trying to curb. Free coloring books, comics, videos, you name it. Some organizations have created entire series of short videos to help children learn about dog bite prevention. For example, the American Veterinary Medical Association has a series of funny child's videos called Jimmy's Doghouse, where a human in a dog costume, Jimmy the dog, acts out different scenarios and gives advice on how to behave around dogs. The usual scenario is that Jimmy encounters a person who does something that is not appropriate, and the video ends with him growling and barking and chasing them away. Here's the audio from Jimmy's video about why you shouldn't disturb a dog while it's eating.
Please leave me alone.
Aw, what's the matter?
Oh, let me have some of that bone.
Seriously, lady, I'm eating here. Go away.
Aw,
Oh, let me have just a little bit of it. Let me share it with you.
Another good series is the SAFE program, created by the dog training organization Good Dog in a Box. Here's the audio from their episode on how kids can use the SAFE game if approached by a strange dog.
Hey, look at that dog! He looks scary. Let's get out of here.
No, don't run. Dogs are faster than you, and it might want to chase you.
What do we do?
We should play the SAFE game. It's easy. When a strange dog approaches, stay still and chill. Arms crossed like a boss. Face away like you don't want to play. Eyes down and look at the ground. We want the dog to get bored so it will go away. Don't run, scream, or wave your arms around any dog. That's not safe.
Okay, let's be safe together.
Stay still and chill.
Don't move and don't make a lot of noise.
Arms crossed like a boss.
Keep your arms still and close to your body.
Face away like you don't want to play.
Turn your head to the side.
Eyes down on the ground.
Keep your eyes down. Don't stare at the dog.
Look, it left! The SAFE game works! I'll teach my friends the SAFE game too!
These series and many others are available for free on platforms like YouTube. All you have to do is look for them. Before moving on, I want to throw in another personal reflection, one that I didn't see covered in any of my sources, but that I've personally witnessed myself, and it's probably a little bit of a rant. Parents, dog parks are not petting zoos. I've had experiences where parents have brought their children into dog parks to let their children run and play with the dogs. And sometimes these families don't even have their own dogs with them. Dog parks are there to exercise and play, not to entertain children. That might sound harsh, but consider that you don't know which of the dogs in there have ever had any experience around children, or even likes children. Roughhousing dogs can easily knock over full-grown adults, so a child could be hurt badly. If your kids want to look at the dogs in the dog park, just admire them from the other side of the fence. Now, what about you dog owners out there? What can you do to reduce the odds of your dog being involved in a bite incident? First, socialization is a must. Through socialization, your dog gets exposed to new situations and people. It increases its confidence and helps them learn how to behave in public when faced with unusual situations. Also, training increases your ability to control your dog in unexpected situations. And as an added bonus, training and socialization can strengthen your own bond with your dog, and it can be pretty fun. Knowing your dog's triggers is also a very important thing to keep in mind. Is your dog scared of people in hats? Those that wear uniforms? If so, either work to desensitize them to those triggers or avoid places where they could be exposed to them. For example, if someone wearing a hat wants to meet your dog, either say no or ask them to take off the hat first. Speaking of that, if someone does ask to pet your dog, don't feel obligated to say yes. It's perfectly okay to say no. Remember, your number one goal is to be your dog's advocate by teaching it how to behave in public and protecting it from situations in which it might feel like it has to lash out for whatever reason. If you find yourself in a situation where your dog is acting agitated, then remove them from that situation, either by putting them in a different room in your house or just walking away from what is causing the problem if you're out in public. Also, neuter your dog. According to the SPCA, the majority of dog bites involve unneutered male dogs. If you have a new puppy, training bite inhibition is something that I also encourage you to explore. I'm not going to go into depth about what bite inhibition entails, but there are many resources online that can give you more information about how to do it. But essentially, bite inhibition teaches puppies how to control their jaw pressure. It's based on how puppies naturally interact with, and teach each other not to bite too hard when playing. Basically, the pup learns to pull its punches. It learns how to play gently with humans so that there's less of a chance of an accidental bite. In one final personal reflection here. When it comes to dogs, don't use size as an excuse. If you own a small dog, that doesn't mean you do not have to train and socialize your dog. It's not cute or funny if your toy-sized dog likes to nip at people. While a small dog might not be much of a threat to an adult, even the smallest of dogs can easily reach a child's face. And even a small dog can cause damage to delicate skin. I have been bitten twice in my life when I was a kid. One time it was by a Pomeranian, and the other time it was by a Shih Tzu. The Pomeranian didn't break the skin, but the Shih Tzu sent me to the emergency room with puncture wounds to my face that came within an inch of my eye. So I encourage you to teach your dog to behave, no matter what its size. So there we have it. The number of dog bites that take place in the United States each year can be considered a public health crisis that needs to be better addressed. Luckily, there are several things you can do to avoid finding yourself or your dog involved in a bite incident. Most of it comes down to education, responsible dog ownership, and a bit of common sense. I hope you found some of the things we've talked about here to be useful. I encourage you to search online for more thorough information on what you can do to avoid being a part of the dog bite statistic. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'm going to go play with my dog. What do you say, Addie? You want to go chase a frisbee? Well, let's go then. Have a great day, everyone. Sources for this podcast include the American Kennel Club at akc.org, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals at spca.org, the American Veterinary Medical Association at avma.org, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at cdc.gov, Good Dog in a Box at gooddoginabox.com, and VCA Animal Hospitals at vcahospitals.com. Intro and outro music provided by Soul Prod Music.